Turn it, leave it, stop, format it, buy it, use it, break it, fix it, trash it, change it, mail, upgrade it, charge it, point it, zoom it, press it.
Well, hello there, my computerized compatriots. Once more under the breach, dear friends. Once more, this is Steven.
This is Chris.
And this is Kyle.
And you're listening to That Computer Show, your source for the latest in gaming and technology news. On today's Pangalactic episode 198 of That Computer Show, I have got some huge moves in the privacy policies, big changes of two of the web's biggest players, Twitter and Google, changing the game on us. And if you think your cell service stinks, try being labeled a war criminal for using your cell phone in North Korea right now. Can you hear me now? Behind bars?
Nope.
No. Not at all, not if you're in North Korea. And Apple refuses to respond to criticisms of cruelty and callous, but they do send a passionate email to their employees reminding them that they do, in fact, care. Yeah. And Americans abandoning DSL in favor of better internet access. We've got all that and more on Columbia's favorite technology talk show, That Computer Show, now with 100% more percents.
Is that like 100% times 100%?
That would be, how many percents would that be?
Lots of percents.
More than 10.
It would be more than 10. That's what's important.
That's what's important. All right, so Twitter. You've heard of Twitter, right?
Nope.
Chris, you have a Twitter account, don't you?
I do. I say lots of meaningless things on it. Isn't that what it's for?
That is actually what Twitter means in Latin. It means saying lots of meaningless things. That I only have three people that actually care.
I don't believe you.
It doesn't matter. It's still true. Twitter, they actually have a decision that they will block content in specific countries now. And this is sparking tons of protests from their users.
I believe that is the very definition of censorship.
Well, and it's interesting.
Go ahead. I mean,
it's a double-sided kind of a thing. And I'm not real sure where I weigh in on this. Basically, Twitter announced this week that they're going to be enforcing a new policy that will allow for reactive blocking of content on a country-by-country basis.
What kind of content? Now, I did see something to the effect of they were going to they released how many DMCA takedown notices
they have put up a website.
4,000
right.
This year.
Yeah. They put up a website that basically to try and enable some transparency in this move to combat some of this. These complaints. Quote, the new rule says that specific tweets will be blocked in countries where that content is in violation of the local laws, according to the Washington Post. Quote, starting today, we give ourselves the ability to reactively withhold content from users in a specific country while keeping it available in the rest of the world. We have also built in a way to communicate transparently to users when content is withheld and why. Kyle, you look troubled.
That is very disturbing, actually.
Now, Twitter has said that they have no intent to open up the Chinese market, but many analysts say that this may be the first foray into setting themselves up to be available. They want to be available in every country on the planet. But
did they say what kind of content they're going to be blocking?
Content that is in violation of local laws. Now, this is the real challenge. To be available in all of these countries, they have to abide by the laws of that country. I mean, that's pretty much that is the way that it is.
I mean, that makes sense.
It does make sense, but you know, Twitter and part of Facebook, they really were what drove part of the Arab Spring. You know, so I think a lot of people are worried about, you know, this is limiting the ability of people to organize and come together in times of social upheaval. Quote.
I don't think they'll censor that type of stuff because I believe that the powers that be at Twitter are sensitive to that, but they have to take some responsibilities. For example, if you have an account where this particular user is tweeting links to pirated software or links to stuff that's infected with viruses, things like that they have to take a responsibility for. It is their network, and they do bear some, you know, responsibility for the misuse of it. So, I do see that they have a right to censor some types of content, such as, I just stated, you know, links to pirated software,
right.
and pirated
media. Yeah, and this really, this shouldn't be confused with all of the SOPA BS and the crap going on overseas. We'll talk about that in a little bit, because there's a little anger there. But it's a little frightening to me that both Twitter and Google, we'll talk about the Google thing in a minute as well, but basically, the company will let the individual know when they have content that's being withheld, followed by a clear notice posted to users in that country. Any users outside the country with the blocked content will still be able to see it. So, okay, you could be tweeting away in one country and have no one there see it. In space, no one can hear you tweet. But just outside your borders and around the world, you could have a huge audience. So, hypothetically...
I could be in China tweeting and you guys could see it.
Like, they're killing us, they're killing us, oh God, oh God, oh God, at soccer. Because we're talking about a soccer tournament.
Right.
And, you know...
I thought you were going to say softly with his words.
killing you softly with his song. And anybody in that country wouldn't be able to see it, but the rest of the world would know. This would be really great, actually, for any soccer matches that happen within North Korea. Because you remember the fiasco. There was the soccer tournament in North Korea, and, like, the results were real skewed and weird. And,
yeah, I remember that. Yeah. That was really funny. They put a video out and all that stuff.
Exactly. And the video that they put out was nothing like the rest of the video that the world saw.
It was North Korea winning the soccer tournament. Like, they only showed clips of North Korea scoring.
Yeah,
and,
right, exactly. So, but there's a lot of processing going on. And I'd like to hear from you, the listener. You know, you can call us during the second segment. We'll start taking some call-ins. And maybe we can talk about this a little bit. See what people think about Twitter and censorship and
talk about it.
Let's give them something to talk about. Okay, so speaking of, I don't know, this isn't really censorship, but
did you look at the Forbes article on this?
No, I did not.
I don't know what to take of it. I glanced at it and half of it's like scratched out.
Scratched out.
I don't know if it's
marked out.
Yeah, I don't know if it's marked out because it's irrelevant information or if they're just being silly. Like, oh, they can't read this, censor this.
Oh, interesting.
I don't know. It's funny. Or it may just be silly.
It's funny and silly. I like it. Google. You've heard of Google, right, Kyle?
Yeah, definitely.
Chris, you've used them before? It's a search engine?
Yeah.
We use Warly Warly Boop here, but when we're not using Warly Warly Boop, we sometimes we'll use... When we're slumming it, we'll use Google. Google is changing their privacy policy. Do you guys know about this?
I read a little bit about this. Yeah, their stock took a little hit because of it. So yeah.
Can you do you know enough to explain to the world?
No.
Okay, me either. So Kyle, it's up to you.
Okay. Google is a company.
Wow. Okay, I'm taking back over. Google is putting a new privacy policy in place that it says will give its users control.
It'll give its users control.
Of their privates. Users control of their own privates. Quote, we believe that consumers should have the ability to opt out of data collection when they are not comfortable with the company's terms of service, and that the ability to exercise the choice should be simple and straightforward. That's from a letter Congress sent to Google. It's, Dear Google, blah, 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 love Congress. basically, Google said that they're introducing a new privacy policy that I'm just going to read a quote. Our new privates policy makes clear that if you're signed in, we may combine information you've provided from one service with information from other services. In short, we'll treat you as a single user across all products, which will mean a simpler, more intuitive Google experience, said the Google Chocolate Factory's blog on Wednesday.
So basically, they're going to regard my Gmail account and my smartphone's Google account.
And your YouTube searches. Yeah, all they're going to treat all of it the same. Basically,
I was already done like that.
Yeah, and I glanced over this a while when it first broke. And at first, as someone who uses a lot of Google services, I was like, okay, that's cool, whatever. They already do that. I guess they're now just putting it all together. I kind of figured that when I downvote something on YouTube, I'm logged into YouTube, and I was like, that's stupid. And I clicked the downvote thing. It keeps track of that. It knows that I down-thumbed that. And maybe that's going to, when I go to YouTube, it doesn't suggest stuff like that to me when I get done watching a video of, a jet engine blowing up. Oh, explosions.
Right.
That's
right,
cool.
Right.
And then you get the video of somebody animated a firecracker. Oh, jet engine blow up. Oh, that's stupid. It knows that I don't want to see dumb stuff.
I think that has a lot of positive potential. We're going to talk about this more during the second segment. That's all for the first segment of That Computer Show, broadcasting live from WOIC and streaming online at thatcomputershow.net. If you want to join on the action, call us at 803-742-1230 and get your technology or pop culture questions answered. I have about 10 seconds left, right?
You got like 18 seconds. You're fine.
You can also tweet your questions to TCS Joe with the hashtag ThatComputerShow. We're going to pick them up on the air. Stay tuned. Sit tight. That Computer Show will be right back.
Touch it, bring it, pay it, watch it, turn it, leave it, stop, format it, buy it, use it, break it, fix it.
And we are back with more of That Computer Show. You're listening to us live from thatcomputershow.net or tuning in to AM 1230 WOIC. Thank you to all of our listeners, foreign and domestic. Just for the record, I was totally dancing during that last commercial. Kyle, can you confirm that?
Confirmed.
I was shaking it like a Polaroid picture. Okay. We are now taking call-ins, 803-742-1230, or you can tweet us your questions with the hashtag ThatComputerShow. Just send your questions to TCS Joe. Let's do it. Okay, we were talking during the first segment about this whole Google privacy thing. And, you know, the people and the government do raise some pretty valid concerns and questions about this. What are the names of all of the Google products and services? For each product, are you able to use that product without logging in? Was inside the letter that, you know, Dear Congress, or Dear Google, Love Congress letter. People are concerned that some Google products and services are very hidden. For example, Goog 411, you remember back in the day, you could call it, ask questions about, like, hey, how do I find McDonald's from here? And, or what's the phone number for McDonald's, or whatever. And most people didn't realize that that was actually a service that Google had to hone its voice recognition services every bit as much the point as it was to actually give
it
phone numbers.
An excellent idea.
Well, it was an excellent idea, but
akin to hiring, you know, getting interns from the local college to do menial tasks. I mean, how do you train video? I mean, how do you train voice recognition software without, you know, tedious?
Very true. And
you want to get the largest sample possible. Why not create a free service that does something cool?
It's ingenious. Yeah. But you wouldn't have interns. You wouldn't have interns for your political science department being the unwitting guinea pigs in some weird science experiment. So there's a fine line, and I agree. I think that what they did with the Goog 411 was genius. But I think Congress is concerned that maybe some of the Google services you may not even realize are Google services. When I do a Google search on my smartphone, it shows up on my desktop computer when I'm signed in to Google.
That's something that you can enable on,
right,
on
that's,
my,
it's
my
voluntary,
Android
right,
phone. It does that too.
Right now it is. But
and that's fine. And I could see why that would actually help someone who's using a Google account.
Or get someone in a lot of trouble.
For example, if you search for Jaguars, and
little baby Jaguar, Dora the Explorer.
And but you're referring to the car, not the cat.
Oh,
you know, it knows it's going to show you search results that are related to the vehicle, not the cat. You know, whereas you may be more interested in cats and cars, it may show you more information relating to the feline variety and not the four wheel variety. So yeah, I could see how combining the services, or at least the information shared across those services per account. I don't think that information is leaving my account. The way I read the policy, it's my YouTube account now talks to my Google search box, and
well, actually,
now talks to my Google Plus account, and now talks to my Android phone.
There are some concerns that the information may be leaving your account, but not necessarily in a personal identifiable, but as part of an aggregate of other data. For example, this information invariably is going to be used to tailor advertising and offers to you, quote, to enhance your experience.
Yeah, and well, it helps Google keep all their stuff running.
It's the Minority Report. It's that scene in the airline of the Minority Report where the dude's walking by and they see his eye. They're like retina scan. Oh, look, we're going to give him an ad about underwear because he bought underwear last week or whatever.
It really helps Google, though, because, I mean, they can market for advertisers if they want to advertise on their Google searches.
This is directly from the mouths of Google. And I'll quote this paragraph because it's relevant.
Okay.
Finally, what we're not changing, we remain committed to data liberation. So if you want to take your information elsewhere, you can. We don't sell your personal information, nor do we share it externally without your permission, except in very limited circumstances like a valid court order. So they don't sell their information to advertisers. They don't give it away. Your search result
stuff. Wait, read that again.
We don't sell your personal information, nor do we share it externally without your permission, except in very limited circumstances like a valid court order.
Okay, so hypothetically, and I'm just going to play the devil's advocate because I'm apparently really good at that. Hypothetically, if one of their five-page-long EULAs says, we're going to use this information to give you
Actually,
aggregate.
The, the whole point of the change of this privacy policy was to shorten. There isn't a 5-page EULA anymore. The privacy policy was published was done so in order to shorten and simplify their privacy policy as to avoid.
So do you think
these really complicated EULAs that, you know, you look through them and the next thing you know you press accept and you've just given away the rights to your left arm.
Do you think I like my left arm? I'm left-handed.
I can do without.
Well, you could do without my left arm, but I can't. How do you think that
in limited circumstances when I need to clap. So,
well, one hand clap, sound of one hand clapping, Bart Simpson. Thank you very much. What do you think? How do you think that this privacy policy change compares to the forget me policy that they're trying to enact overseas? Because you know, Facebook doesn't forget anything you say or do. Every post, everything you say or do is kept. And currently, it's not all available to you. We talked about the dude who overseas. He basically filed a court order to get all of the information that Facebook had on him. They gave him a DVD full of information, but they basically said, "This is all of the information that we're required by current law to give you. It's not everything." Do you feel much better about the Google thing? How do you feel about the forget me policy overseas?
I'm not that familiar with that case, so
you know, what really is concerning me is that. We're seeing.
I would be upset if, and I'm already upset at certain companies that we have in the States that we seem to be getting upset at Google and at Facebook. But you know, the credit companies in this country, you know, they have information that you have to pay them in order to get all that information.
Man, if there's
we seem to be okay with that.
We could rant about that. I mean, I'm not okay with that at all. I'll rant about that too. I mean, I guess
it's the same thing.
My real question is now. You know my position. Everybody knows my position. Google is taking over the world. I know it. Some people, they don't realize this.
I like it.
You do. The velvety rope of oppression. That collar.
No.
It's comfy.
I can hear the
They're making
the
your
swarm.
Life easier.
I can hear the hive
mind. The hive mind, yeah. So, like you said, I kind of do like the idea of, you know, YouTube tapping into my Google searches, knowing that I'm looking for, you know, chocolate rain and not, like, chocolate fondue recipes. But I don't necessarily like the idea of that information being misused. And I guess it's kind of like the whole SOPA thing. A lot of people were up in arms about SOPA, not because they knew what was going on, but they were afraid of what might be going on. And I think that's
and
the big
Dodd
concern.
And Chris Dodd pretty much blew it up, said, yeah, that was what's going on.
Right, right. But so the situation here, you know, is this really to help us all? Let's be realistic, people. Google is a company. They're out to make money, more money than, well, God. Just saying. So I'm interested in seeing how this turns out. I mean, they're going to change their policy one way or another, I'm sure. I guess we'll find out, you know, how that evolves. Still better than what's going on in North Korea.
So, yeah, you mentioned something about cell phones in North Korea. Do we have time to go over?
Oh, yeah, we've got plenty of time in this segment.
Okay. Let's hear it.
Now, we all know that Lil' Kim passed away in December, R.I.P., GDSOB, he died, and his son, Baby Kim, took over.
Is that his name?
It's like Kim Jong-un, I think.
Yeah, something.
Apparently, there is a mandatory 100 days of mourning. And as part of that, North Korea has banned the use of mobile phones while it formally mourns the death of its late glorious leader. Those who disobey will be treated as war criminals and punished accordingly, based on claims.
How are they keeping track of this kind of stuff, like cell phone usage?
North Korea has a single 3G network.
Oh.
Since about 2008. They have about 700,000 people who use it. I think this may be in part to try and quell an Arab... This would be like the kimchi spring, where people may use these phones to organize, you know, and resist. Also, I think there's been a reported mass exodus of people from North Korea, from what I'm reading on the internet. And you know, everything you read on the internet maybe is true.
It's always true. Yeah, there is no falsity on the internet whatsoever.
No, nothing. That cat can has cheeseburger. It turns out. It's interesting, though, 100 days without cell phone uses.
That's a long time.
Yeah. So
it's like 100 out of 365. Like, that's like a that third? Only gives you 265 days to use your cell phone.
Kyle, you've been watching too much SpongeBob.
Apparently.
So, yeah, basically, if you try and leave the country or if you use your cell phone, you will be treated as a war criminal. Not a smooth criminal. A war criminal. Say something, Chris. I know you want to.
Are you okay, Addy?
You don't do that. I was going to say that. That's my line.
I'm sorry.
It's right in the script. And then Chris says, are you okay, Annie? Are you okay? And then Kyle goes, oh. So, yeah, man, I North Korea is just North Korea, man. That's just crazy stuff. I don't know. I can't wait for the wall to break down and then to actually get some Google Internet access for a little bit and and see that the world is not as crazy as the painting they've been shown. It's really sad when you think about the amount of technology that comes out of the country on the other side of that line. You know, South Korea is the home of industry giants like Samsung, and you have just above the line, you have barely running water, and the whole populace of that country is held back from any kind of use of technology,
right,
to further themselves.
Which is North Korean for. I'm surprised they even have cell phones.
I mean, they have access to certain technologies, but they are limited to a select few people who are in the party and in the capital. And you see, if I've gone online and done a little research on this, I've seen where tourists have gone to North Korea, and they get on these tours, and you can see a bit of the city and the history, and you're heavily guided through this tour, and there are strict rules about what you can take pictures of and things like that. Very, very few times people have actually been able to skirt away from the rails of these tours, and right. What they see is just exactly what you'd expect if you could see the backside of an amusement park ride. It, you know, covered in oil and grease. They see that country suffers from poverty beyond all imagination. These people are starving to death.
Yeah.
The city is only busy in the sections that the tourists are allowed to be in, to put on a show for those tourists to say, oh, no, everything's fine here. You know, we're doing okay. Got our missiles, you know.
I wonder what's going to happen with the transfer to Baby Kim. I mean, is it going to get better?
I don't think so. It will get worse before, you know, there's going to be, you know, a war or a revolution or something.
Yeah, and it's kind of scary.
And they do have a pretty effective military. And
they have, over a million soldiers?
Yeah. And due to the, I guess, for lack of a better term, brainwashing of these people, they think they're in the right. They think that they're the best country in the world. They think that they are the lone superpower. They truly do believe they are a superpower.
You know, Kim Jong-il's older son is living in China.
Yeah.
He missed out on the throne. He did something. I can't remember what he did, but basically
I think he came out against his father's regime a while back.
Yeah, like he left the country and went to Disney World or something. Like, and I'm serious. I think he went to take a kid to Disney World. I'm pretty sure that
he went to the, you know,
Tokyo Disney or something like that, right?
I don't know.
Somebody call and correct me, but I'm pretty sure that the older Baby Kim got kicked out for that.
What's his name?
Stewie. I don't know. I can't remember.
Since we're talking about North Korea, I can't get on my cell phone and look at it for fear of being labeled a war criminal.
Yeah.
Oh, no.
So let's move on to a different subject.
You want to talk about Apple? Because they care. I'm going to get in a lot of trouble for this article.
Oh, no.
Yeah, Yeah, I guess. I don't have the article pulled up. I was looking over it a moment ago, and I don't have it pulled up. But it seems that there's been a lot of talk in the news recently about Apple, and a lot of it stemming from that New York Times article.
Yeah.
That they got a little upset about when the author of that article basically called Apple out for using places like Foxconn.
Well, in May, there was an explosion. In May of last year, there was an explosion in Chengdu, It was a Foxconn factory in Chengdu that four people died. 18 people were severely injured. It was the place where workers polished iPads. And they said that the aluminum dust exploded. Now, yeah, it's totally happened.
That's...
Now, HP, Microsoft, Dell, IBM, Nokia, a lot of other companies use Foxconn. But, yeah, this guy, like you said, this guy called out Apple. So Apple never responds to this kind of criticism. They're very tight-lipped about it, which, you know, has worked to their credit thus far. But apparently this time they released a new supplier code of conduct that talks about labor conditions in, quote, unprecedented depth. It doesn't just say, well, you know, be cool. And they released an internal email to all of their employees. Tim Cook, who is the replacement for Steve Jobs, did this. And some people think it's because he actually was in charge of he was the chief operations officer responsible for manufacturing since like the 90s, in the late 90s. But it's pretty interesting because, you know, Apple makes a lot of money. It's $188 for the parts for an iPhone 4S, $8 for the manufacturing, and it sells for $649.
Yeah.
It's crazy.
A lot of the technology products on the market today, the ones with the highest markup are the iPhone and the iPad. The cost to manufacture versus their MSRP, it's ridiculous. And, you know, the New York Times article was basically trying to draw a parallel. The cost to manufacture this thing in money, you know, is very little, but in human, like, life and freedom, that's where the real cost is. How much does it cost in people? And like, I don't want to say their souls, but like, these people work, you know, 18 hours a day for pennies, you know? And we're not talking about some, you know, sweatshop in Cambodia. These are it might as well be a sweatshop. And then they're just air conditioned shops. But these people live and die in these places. They live in it like a dorm, and it's not a job. It's reminiscent of the labor problems we had in this country, you know, before things like the Naders and the unions, things like that, where kids were getting caught up in these sewing machines, and we just put another kid over there. So,
yeah. So it's interesting to me. That's a big margin, man. That just blows my mind. I haven't seen those exact numbers, but anyway, we've got 3 minutes. I got some other news. Students busted for hacking computers and changing their grades.
You know, those are some smart students.
Three high school juniors have been arrested after they devised a sophisticated hacking scheme.
Is this in an 80s, like, sci-fi film or something?
Yeah, it's totally.
Link that to me.
Students are accused of breaking into the janitor's office at California's Palo Verde High School, making a copy of the master key, and then attaching keylogging hardware to the computers of four of their teachers, harvesting passwords, and owning the network.
So they okay.
I'll link you.
It's pretty clever.
Except for they got caught.
Well, how'd they get caught? Their grades went crazy?
They were pretty smart, said Police Sergeant Steve Barber. They knew exactly what to do with the computers. The scores wouldn't go up a whole lot, but enough to change their grade. They didn't want to make it real apparent something was going on.
Yeah, because those teachers have a lot of students. How are they going to remember one student's exact grade, I guess, you know?
These kids were all in honors classes.
Yeah, they're all smart kids.
Why would they even need to log in to alter their grades? If they're bright kids, why weren't they just doing well in school? That shocks me. That you know, if you're this bright, why aren't you already getting A's and B's? You know, just apply the effort somewhere else, I guess.
And that's the moral of the story. If this were a G.I. Joe cartoon, that would be the public service announcement at the end.
G.I. Joe.
Hey, knowing is half the battle. You know?
Yeah. But it's a very good point. If these kids are in these smart people classes.
Smart people classes?
Smart people classes.
Well, I don't know. I've met some pretty dim bulbs that have come out of AP classes. So.
Yeah, okay. This is true. Chris, do you have anything fun to talk about?
All the fun stuff appears to have been deleted from the interwebs.
Oh, dear.
Oh, there's tons of fun on the
internet. Or it was pirated. Now, I've got this interesting article here talking about, you know, right now we have Hulu, Netflix, and iTunes where we can download media legally. But before these were popular, everybody got this stuff illegally off of, I don't know, BitTorrent. They just download free copies of TVs and shows and stuff. Well, now, in the days of where we have 3D printers, we're going to start seeing, and they're already starting to see these things called physibles, which are the plans or designs objects.
We talked about this, Kyle.
That are being downloaded, for example, off of sites like the Pirate Bay, where, you know, you download the plans for an object.
A fully armed and operational battle station. Next thing you know, we got Death Stars everywhere.
Now, granted, the technology that's being used today is pretty limited, but it speaks to the concept that that this could damage, you know, IP or intellectual property stuff in the future. Say, for example, if you downloaded the plans for the next iPhone and printed it out. Sure, it's not going to be a working phone, but you have the design and everything leaked well before the object.
I'll do you one better after the break, because this is interesting stuff, especially some of the gamers that we have at the store. That is all for the second segment of That Computer Show, broadcasting live from AM 1230 WOIC and streaming from thatcomputershow.net. We'll be back after the break with more news, knowledge, controversy, and chaos. Stay tuned and sit tight. That Computer Show will be right back.
Touch it, bring it, pay it, watch it, turn it, leave it, start, format it, buy it, use it, break it, fix it.
And we are back with That Computer Show. Call us at 803-742-1230. I'll say that again in a moment more slowly. And get in on the conversation. We want to hear from you. 803-742-1230. Should I say it in a cool voice?
No, you're okay. I think you're good now.
We should get, like, the chef from South Park to say it for us. We're talking 3D piracy here on That Computer Show, ladies and gentlemen.
3D piracy.
3D piracy. Call us, 803-742-1230, 742-1230.
It's 3D piracy where you go on to the Pirate Bay wearing 3D glasses.
That's the only way you're going to be able to see it anyway. Otherwise, the designs don't pop out at you.
Oh, I see. Okay, yeah, so I'm right.
I totally understand.
No.
This is interesting stuff, because we've talked about this a little bit in the past. We've got gamers at the store.
I'm a gamer.
You are. And
you're not currently located at the store, so technically.
You know, some of those games with miniatures, like Warhammer, Dungeons & Dragons, stuff like that.
Oh, you're talking, like, not computer games. You're talking, like...
Well, just games in general. But these, well, you know, yeah. we've had people express an interest. Hey, I want to get a copy of this model that would cost me $30 to buy, and I'll print it myself. And I'll save $30.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Well, with the concept of the Pirate Bay plus, you know, 3D printing, and you could do that. You could just download that model and spit it out your MakerBot, which is a...
MakerBot's a 3D printer, for those of you who are like,
what are you doing? No, it's a type of 3D printer. You were saying that you could make your own models of these things, which technically you're violating a copyright and you're circumventing somebody's dinner plate. You know, you're taking money out of their mouths. So, what do you guys think about that? I kind of like the concept of having a 3D printer, being able to print.
Oh, I'm totally in love with the idea. Yeah.
But I would be totally on board with paying a very small fee for the objects to print. I'm all about a type of protected file for that kind of thing. So you can download this file and you can only print that file. You can't distribute that file. It'll only work on your printer.
So basically, DRM for 3D plans. Go ahead. Sorry.
Yes, because I mean, as free spirited as I am, I understand that if I made a device, if I come up with a device, and wanted to market it, and you know, one of the wheels on it breaks all the time. Sure, it's easier to just say, well, here are the plans for that particular part. It's only a dollar. You know, here's the plans for that part. Print it out for yourself instead of, you know, having to charge.
Well, it'd be great for customer service.
Oh, yeah. Instead of having to charge, you know, $10 to have the part manufactured and then, you know, a dollar to have it shipped and then the inconvenience of all of that. Well, no, here's the plans. Here's just load this into your MakerBot, give it 10 minutes, and then, you know, pop it out and put it in your
device. I think what we're looking at here is what we're looking at here is a new frontier, a potentially disruptive technology. The same thing happened when color was invented and when sound was invented and when the wheel was invented and it could be misused. You know, you could use the wheel to roll over people. You know, that's bad in most instances.
Unless it's funny.
Yeah, for comedy or for getting rid of, like, world criminals and bad guys. Anyway, it's so...
But
I mean, there's a ton of plans on the web for, like, Minecraft 3D stuff that people have done. And we have a Darth Vader head at the store. And I'm pretty sure that we're not in violation of copyright yet. Because somebody made that. It would be like me drawing a picture of Darth Vader.
Right. You know, actually, in Warhammer specifically, there's a big modding community for models. People have this basically modeling clay that hardens after a period of time. And they make whatever they want, mm-hmm. or add on to their current models. I mean, they can make some pretty good recreations of the real things. I mean,
and that's fine if that's your self-expression. It starts to get, you know, when you infringe is when you start to sell those things, or sell those designs and to compete.
People
with.
Do sell those. That's lots of people's
and they're,
jobs.
They're skating a fine line there,
yeah, right? And I guess that really is the. I guess the level of infringement is dictated by whether or not the publishers of that game are if they feel like they've been wrong,
right?
Or if they feel like that this furthers their cause.
Yeah, a lot of that stuff is actually used for good. They customize their own stuff,
right? Well, it's to make it look cooler.
Right, exactly. Yeah,
I'm reading this. Christopher Mims, which is he's an author at Technology Review, basically called this whole, you know, piracy of 3D things BS, because the idea of, you know, 3D printing and all these fanciful things. 3D printers are expensive to run and own. So if you're going to try and save yourself $30 by printing this model, you've already invested, you know, thousands of dollars in parts and labor and man hours and stuff and plastic into the device that's going to be doing it. You're not really gaining anything except for notoriety and fun. So these devices are pretty simple right now. We can do, you know, like very primitive objects. Right now, what our friend just got his printer to print a cube.
Cube.
So that's impressive, except for the fact that
he probably spent $1,000 to print a cube.
Exactly. So
well, and right now, yeah, that is the case. But in 5 years,
yeah, it's going to be much more cost effective. You're going to be able to print much more useful things. Like one of the most useful things I saw that current 3D printers can make was like a coat hanger or a little multi tool that you can use for opening bottles and stuff like that.
Right.
Yeah. And it's cool. But
we're,
I mean,
we're right on the cusp of
in
this.
The future, yeah.
We'll keep
future.
Following it because it is a potentially disruptive technology. I think it's pretty cool. I've got a little story that's going to warm your heart a little bit.
What if mine is the size of a Grinch's heart?
Then you need to see a doctor. Unless the Grinch is like 20 feet tall, then it would be the right size for you. Okay, a developer of a game called Legend of Grimrock. It is a dungeon crawler. It's an old-school dungeon crawler. Basically, you're a dude who goes
room, I know what story this is.
Room by room to this dungeon, and you get, you know, adventures. So they received a request from a guy. We'll call him Harpoon IPA. That's his nick on the site, right?
Yeah, he's disabled.
Kyle just ruined it.
Didn't ruin it. You were about to say that.
No, I wasn't. Basically, he wanted them to add clickable arrows to help make moving around in the game easier. Now, this is a game mechanic. It's actually pretty old. It used to be this way for a long time. And it had gone away. And the publisher of the game was like, well, we're not going to do that. Nobody wants it. Just use your mouse, whatever. So the dude responded back that, okay, now say it, Kyle.
He's disabled.
He is a disabled gamer. He has to use a mouth stick for typing. Basically, he has a straw that he, you know, does mouthy things with to type. Well, here's where it gets cool. The people basically reversed their position, added it to the game, just like that.
Yep.
And this has gained a ton of support in the gaming community. People are super, super impressed by this.
It's a super cool game, too. You can watch a video on it. It's like an old-school style dungeon crawler, like he was saying. Mm-hmm. But you can have a group of four people. You can have like a warrior and a mage.
Oh, how much is the game?
I don't know. It's in. I don't think it's out yet. I don't think you can buy it.
The Legend of Grimrock is the name of the game. So if you want to support these guys, now what's really cool is these guys are indie gamers, you know, and I don't know if a big gaming company would get behind a request like this. But this list team of guys, a small team, basically popped it onto the game.
You know, yeah, lots of developers listen to their communities, but they don't really act on it because it's so hard to go through corporate and all that stuff to change little things. But indie developers.
So hooray for them. My heart is warmed. And I'm looking forward to looking at this game. I need to find out if it's out or not. Legend of Grimrock. So check it out, y'all. Funk Soul Brother.
Check it out.
Did you hear that Monty Python's reuniting? Reuniting?
Reunity?
Reunity, yes.
Oh,
I heard about that.
Tell me about it.
They're getting together to do a movie.
What's it going to be called?
Absolutely Anything.
Okay.
So, yeah, it's going to be directed by Terry Jones. Or he's written by Terry Jones. So.
Now, who is Terry Jones?
He's one of the guys.
He's one of the Monty Pythonians.
Yes. He's a guy that does things.
Pirates of Wall Street's one of my favorites. That was a great one.
Oh, yeah, that was a short that was in front of The Meaning of Life, was it?
No, I think Holy Grail.
No, yes, you're right. It was Holy Grail.
Super great. So that's pretty cool. I'm excited. I like me some Monty Python. Do you guys hear about the racial curse that snuck into Minecraft?
Oh, yeah. You saw that this morning. Tell me about this.
Okay. With the latest Minecraft update, they added multiple languages. Now, Minecraft is in part a community-supported project. I say in part. Basically, the languages are actually a text file that sits out on a server somewhere on the web. Are we out of time?
Yeah, we got like 50 seconds.
Okay, so basically, somebody hacked the file and put in a curse. If you put in the Afrikaans version of the language, Jeb, who is the leader of Minecraft right now, found out about it and stopped it.
Yeah, he apologized too.
Yeah, pretty interesting how, you know, the open community can actually go wrong. Okay, that's all the time we have for this week's show. That Computer Show, Saturday, 1 p.m. Eastern Standard Time, thatcomputershow.net, WOIC. Listen in, Facebook friend, if you're not a good person, blah, blah, blah. Am I done? Do I have time to...
You got 20 seconds, man.
It just scared me, man. Hit us up at thatcomputershow.net to get downloads, blog past episodes, and more. Don't forget to follow us on Twitter at TCSJoe. Until next week, this is Steven.
This is Chris.
And this is Kyle.
And you've been listening to...
That Computer Show.